From the studios at Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. Climate change has many effects on our world, from extreme heat to drought to floods, which in turn impacts people and businesses and governments. However, climate change also has a profound effect on our children, especially when it comes to their mental health. Dr. Elizabeth Pinsky is a child and adolescent psychiatrist at Massachusetts General Hospital, as well as the Associate Director for Advocacy at the Hospital Center for Environment and Health. She sees the effect climate-fueled natural disasters have on our kids every single day, and she says the healthcare professionals who take care of our children need to advocate for environmental change. Dr. Pinsky is speaking Wednesday as part of St. Luke's Climate and Health Lecture Series, and she's joining us now to talk more. Dr. Pinsky, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
So can we start our conversation by you telling us a little bit about your climate story, which my understanding is really began in 2018?
Yeah, that's funny. So, you know, I've always been someone who cared a lot about climate change and worried about it. It wasn't until the United Nations report came out in 2018, that year's IPCC report, I had a moment where I looked at sort of the predictions and how far out scientists were predicting it was before we'd see real high risk of climate disasters, even close to home. And I had a moment where I realized that climate change was not this sort of distant threat that would affect my grandchildren or my great-grandchildren, but that climate change was really coming for me and for my own kids. It was at that point that I really sort of had my own experience of climate distress or of climate anxiety, where I had a period of time where I worried a lot, did too much doom scrolling, stayed up too late worrying about climate. And eventually decided that what I really needed to do was refocus my professional efforts in that area and sort of align my personal and my professional interests.
So before we get into that professional part of it, can we talk a little bit more about that personal side? Because my understanding is that you kind of saw your son starting to get some climate anxiety. How did you pick up on that?
Yeah. So during that period where I had my own sort of a little bit of a spiral around climate change, I thought that I was concealing it from my kids, that I was doing a good job of not letting them know that I was worried or not seeing that I was thinking about it. And we had one night at dinner where out of nowhere, my son, who was five at the time, said to me, Mama, the earth can never die, right? It's like Santa Claus and it can never die. And it was like I had sort of been, you know, punched in the gut. I am a pediatrician and a child psychiatrist. I spend my days working with kids who have life-limiting illnesses or who are sort of facing the toughest things you can think of. And in that moment, I realized I really didn't know what to say to my own child. And even more than that, I wasn't sure sort of what to do as he got older and what he was going to need to be equipped with and how I was going to need to prepare him for this future I knew he was facing, and realized that if I didn't know, I probably wasn't the only one struggling with it.
So what kinds of psychological impacts would you say that children are experiencing around climate change?
Well, so when we talk about me and my family, what we're really talking about is climate distress, is sort of worry about climate change. That is not, for most people in the world, the biggest type of mental health impacts of climate change. There are direct impacts on mental health that come from heat and from air pollution. And then there are the impacts of trauma that are related to the kind of severe weather events that we know are becoming more frequent, more severe, and less predictable as the crisis deepens. So things like floods, wildfires, even heat waves can be associated with post-traumatic stress disorder, which I think makes sense to us. You know, if you experience a life-threatening event, you might have some post-traumatic stress related to it. But also things like anxiety, depression, substance use disorder, child abuse, and other forms of interpersonal violence, all of those are increased in the wake of the natural disasters that we know that people are experiencing with more frequency.
Well, and what's interesting to me, sorry to interrupt, but I was going to say, I mean, what's interesting to me as you talk about this is, I mean, I have two children and my youngest is 12 and he has some anxiety already. And I think back on conversations that we've had and he's asked, and a lot of times it is about the earth, right? And I wonder, because our kids are so, there's so much more that I think they see than we did as kids. Right. And so then how does then that play into really what they're seeing, not just on television, but on, on their phones, social media, all of those things about the climate, about the earth. And on top of that, we really are in a child mental health crisis in our country.
Yep. You know, how it impacts them is that they know that it's coming for them. They know it's going to impact their lives. And it's a very reasonable reason to feel worried and distressed. We have come to talk about this phenomenon. We talk about it often as climate anxiety. And I have a little bit of difficulty with that terminology, because I think for lay people, anxiety often sounds sort of pathological, like it's an illness or form of mental illness you might have. Mm-hmm. Being worried about climate change, I would argue, is really a form of health for children. It shows that they are not in denial about what's going on. Anxiety is adaptive. It's what, all animals have to alert them to threat and allow them to prepare for it. Being anxious about climate change makes a lot of sense. I also would say that when we talk about kids' worry about climate change as anxiety, as if it's something that, we need to treat or do something about the way they're feeling, it individualizes the problem, makes it about the kid as opposed to being about what's going on. So the problem is not that kids are anxious about climate change any more than the problem is that kids are anxious about gun violence or racial violence or sort of any of the things that kids are struggling with these days. The problem is that grownups aren't doing enough to fix the problem.
So I was just going to ask you something in regards to exactly that, is how much do you think this anxiety then plays into the fact that because they are children, they may subconsciously, maybe not consciously, recognize that they can't do anything about this. They can't do anything about climate change. They can't do anything about gun violence. And then they are looking at the grownups who are also not doing anything about this.
Yeah. And I think that really gets at why, while I don't think distress about climate change is a form of mental illness, I do think it's important to help with it and to do something about it, because it's very easy to feel hopeless and to feel like you can't do anything. One of the reasons I think grownups don't always do what they should about climate change is that it feels like sort of the locus of control is outside of them. Kids, even more so, they can't even vote. They have even less power. And so the worry is that while it's very reasonable to feel distressed, if you feel so distressed as a grownup or as a kid that you are either paralyzed or choose to just bury your, choose to bury your head in the sand, or are paralyzed because you were so panicked, you aren't implementing climate solutions. So climate anxiety is not necessarily a illness, but it can block climate action.
So how do we then help our children cope with these feelings about climate change?
So the first thing I would say is that it's important to talk about it the same way it's important to talk about sort of any of the difficult things that happen in the world that we think are important. Our kids want to hear about them from us. They get their values from us. They get their information from us. We should talk to them about these things. And so talking to them in an age-appropriate way about what's going on, being prepared for possibly strong or negative feelings, and not minimizing those feelings is really important. Mr. Rogers said, if it's mentionable, it's manageable. And that applies to climate change too. Having a trusted adult who you can talk to about it is important. One really interesting area where we actually have sort of a little bit of data and a little bit of evidence is that specifically collective action, so not individual action, but collective action, the kind of things that youth activists are doing when they join together in peer groups, can be helpful for climate distress, and especially for climate distress if it is linked to actual anxiety or depression. So encouraging kids to take action, but not to take action alone, to take action with their peers is important. And then one thing that I think is really important for both young people and adults is to monitor your sources of media. I always tell people doom scrolling is not actually a form of climate action. Right. It's an avoidant. It is actually an avoidant coping mechanism. And so making sure that you're being thoughtful about what kind of news you're consuming and how much is helpful is really important.
So when you talk about kind of that community movement, but how does that work then with younger kiddos? I mean, I'm thinking like, okay, I've got a 12-year-old and a 15-year-old. What you just said makes sense. But when they were younger, I don't necessarily know if at 5 and 6 years old, they might be able to comprehend maybe that community idea.
When I talk about collective action, I think I am talking more about adolescents and also adults. Uh-huh. For younger kids, it's making sure that you're taking climate action, that you're modeling as a parent or as a caregiver, managing your own climate distress and your own climate anxiety, that you're modeling taking climate action, helping your kid build a relationship with the natural world is really important. And again, making sure that you are talking about it in a way that is both age appropriate and honest with your kids. Those are going to be more important for younger children. Younger kids are also natural activists, right? They like to do stuff and get involved and master a problem. So that action piece is easier, I think, for sort of elementary age kids.
So before I let you go, what can healthcare professionals who work with children do to help this as well?
So what I would say is that it is not just mental health in terms of the health impacts of climate change that impact kids more, whether we're talking about, respiratory illness, allergies, nutrition issues, heat illness. They're in every way. The WHO estimates that almost 90% of the burden of climate change is borne by children. So people who take care of kids need to be aware of it, be thinking about it, and honestly, to be talking about it. So certainly in the individual clinical encounter, being sensitive to the fact that a kid might be experiencing climate distress could be important. But more than anything, I think healthcare providers, physicians, nurses are trusted messengers, and that they need to be using their voices to talk about this as a problem and to talk about the fact that ultimately the solution is going to be a just transition off of fossil fuels. And that as healthcare providers, we should be clear-eyed and clear communicators about that, and that it's a health issue more than anything else. Climate change is a human health emergency, and we know what we need to do to mitigate it.
Well, I want to thank you so much for the conversation. It's really enlightening. Really appreciate it.
I thank you so much for having me.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.